brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
And now, part two of the November 4th, 2005 edition of JG's Radio Free Insanity. You guys have waited long enough. We said it before, we'll say it again. We have him right here this week. He was with WWE for 24 years. One of their most loyal employees. Somebody that when you thought of World Wrestling Entertainment, you thought of this person. So we're not going to keep you waiting any longer.
All right, so join me in welcoming Dave Hebner to the show. Dave, how are you?
Hey, man, how are you today?
I'm doing good. As many of us know, you were released from World Wrestling Entertainment. And, I mean, there's a lot of he said, she said. I was wondering if you could perhaps tell your side of the story with it.
Well, the only thing is, I'm trying to get somebody to send me a letter or send me something to let me know why I was released, because I'm right here today, a few months ago. I don't even know why I was let go, you know?
They never gave you an official reason?
The only reason they told me was that Vince don't trust you with his money anymore. So I have a hard time believing that, because I used to carry a lot of money for Vince McMahon after every show, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening there. And, you know, I've said it 100 times, you know, that, well, anybody from Connecticut, Mr. John Laurinaitis, the greatest of all time, that's who he thinks he is, you know, he's welcome to come down here to Richmond, Virginia, and go to any bank. I'll take him all around Richmond. And he can go to any bank that is here, and I'll let him ask him questions, any kind of papers, documents, anything. Says how much I have in the bank, what I got saved up, what I got here. I probably have more. I've got a little bit in one bank. He's probably got so much. He's got several banks, you know?
Exactly. Well, that's kind of weird. You were with them for, I think you were telling me, 24 years you were with the company.
24 long years, man. 24 long years, you know? Gave up everything I had, always put my family second, and put Vince McMahon next to, always said, God's first, Vince McMahon is second. Vince McMahon is a hell of a guy. He's done everything that he ever told me that he was going to do, except fire me, and I don't really think he fired me. It was up to John Laurinaitis, you know. But with all the WCW boys coming in, you know, he's got to make room for his boys and get rid of some of the old guys, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's been something we've been hearing a lot. Tom Pritchard just did a column last week about that, about Laurinaitis bringing in his WCW guys. I mean, how would you compare once they did the switch over from Jim Ross as Vice President of Talent Relations to John Laurinaitis? What kind of difference was that for you?
Well, you know, Jim Ross was always a businessman, a good man, and, you know, he always told it like it is. Jim Ross was always fair. You may go have a conversation with him, and when you finish, it might not have been what you want to hear, but he's truthful, and anything that Jim Ross tells you, you can believe on it. Now, getting back one more thing before Jim Ross, Tom Pritchard and Bruce Pritchard, I think the two of the finest guys ever in professional wrestling. Tom, they don't come any better than him.
Mm-hmm.
He will give you 210%. Not 110, 210, you know?
Yep.
That's Tom Pritchard. He's a legend, baby. He's nothing but a good company man to have. And then I guess when you get these new guys in there, they don't see it like everybody else sees it. They don't like them. They want to get rid of, you know?
Yep.
I mean, like I said, you know, it's like politics. You got your own special guys. You got to get in and get these other guys out. As long as I've been there, Pat Patterson was a booker. Jim Ross was a booker. I think George Scott was there when I was there. And, you know, out of all those bookers, nobody ever said, well, let's get rid of the Hebners, you know?
Yep.
I mean, I eat, breathe, and sleep that company every day. 24 years and never, ever, ever missed a day. I would go to work, get on that plane when I was sick, ill with the flu, because I love my job so much that I was going to be there for them, you know?
Yeah.
And Tom Pritchard was the same kind of guy. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, do you think that, I mean, one of the main things that people used to point to with WCW and they point to now, I guess, with WWE is the fact that these new people are being brought in to replace people who have been loyal to the company for so long. What do you think is the rationale behind that? How do you think people kind of justify the fact that they're getting rid of people who were doing well for WWE for so long and replacing them with just friends and acquaintances like that?
Right. Well, first of all, when you use the word loyalty, man, I don't think anybody knows what it means, you know? Evidently, that word must be out of the vocabulary because there's I don't know where the loyalty stands now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to work for Vince hired me, Vince talked to me, flew me and my brother up to his house, I believe it was 1988, when we did that big angle with Hulk Hogan and Andre, good handshake, no contract, handshake, and everything from then, from 1984 when I went there, to 24 years ago, you know, everything was cool. I mean, I could go in and talk to Vince. I said, Vince, my door's always open, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And then they had this big issue about Earl having a WWF store or something like that, and I was in it, and I was never in it. I was never a solid partner. I never had any money in it. It was only Earl in it, and that was it.
See, I was actually going to ask you about that because I had read online a statement from the guy who actually owned the store, who made a statement saying that you were never involved in it. I mean, at what point does it become, I don't want to say wrongful termination, but to release the statement that you guys were fired for that reason and then you had nothing to do with that, I mean, something just doesn't seem right at all.
Right. I mean, you know what, I'm a good person, mm-hmm. and I can tell you, you know, if you had grounds to fire me, then that's fine. Go ahead and fire me. If I did something, then fire me. But I absolutely did nothing. I mean, did nothing. Absolutely did nothing.
I mean,
go ahead.
I'm saying after years of the service that you've done for the company, you were the head referee for years, you know, helping them out in that respect. Do you think that the problem that they're now going to face is that by losing a lot of the people who knew so much, not about the entertainment side of the business, but really just knew wrestling, like yourself and Tom and even Jim Ross to an extent, that knew wrestling above entertainment, do you think that it's going to hurt them long term that they don't have enough original minds to go in there and say, well, this used to work and this worked at one time? Do you think people today don't know enough about the history of wrestling to really fully bring that company to the next level?
Well, is there another level? Is there another level they can go to? Does anybody know how to take it to another level, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man, you know. I don't know. People want to see a storyline. They want to see things happening, you know. I don't think you want to see 25 girls every night, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. How do you feel about the product today? How do you feel about the current product of wrestling as opposed to even a couple of years ago?
Well, I think it's a disgrace. I think the girls are not drawing any money, you know. That's why they got these go-go places out here at night where people can go.
Exactly.
They want to see those kind of girls. They don't want to see these girls we got. I mean, what they going to do for you, you know?
You can't even get naked on regular television.
Yeah, and all of them, they look like crap anyway.
Well, I mean, not even that, too, but even on top of the girls being brought in, it also breeds a little bit of animosity in the locker room from the boys, you know?
Right.
Do you think that WWE, I mean, what would you say is the rationale behind doing that, kind of breeding animosity and bringing in people who aren't, you know, drawing money? Is it just to show that they can get these women in and that they're friends with them, or I don't, what is the mindset?
Probably that. Probably friends with Johnny Leonidas, you know, probably good friends of his. I mean, the only couple of girls I've ever seen in WWE, WWF when it was, you know, the Fabulous Moolah, Mae Young. I mean, you talk about professional wrestlers, people who eat, sleep, and breathe that business, you know, and winning that ring serious, you know. And Ivory. I mean, Ivory was one of the finest girls they had there, you know. Stacy's a good kid, you know.
Yep.
People like that can do something for the company, but, you know, when you got 25 girls, man, when you got girls, there's none of the guys, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I find actually funny is that years ago, women like Stacy and you know, and Torrey Wilson to an extent, they used to get a lot of heat for being not quote-unquote wrestlers, and now compared to some of the new girls they have coming in, women like Stacy and Torrey Wilson are, like, established in the business because these new women know so little about wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, that guy said she took a bump. She didn't take a bump. She fell over her own feet getting in the ring, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about taking a bump. For Christ's sake.
There's no more of that. I mean, now you said before you were talking a little bit about Hogan and the Andre angle, which to this day is still one of the most memorable angles to a lot of our readers out there. Can you give a little bit of backstory about how that came about, who approached you, and your thoughts about the whole thing?
Well, Vince didn't want Hogan to lose all Andre. So, and a lot of people didn't know Earl and I were twins because I was up in New York and Earl was down here in Charlotte working for Jim Clark Promotions. Mm-hmm. Then they said, well, let's bring Earl up, talk to him. So me and Earl went up, talked to Vince, got everything straight, and everything was great, you know?
Were you surprised that they used Earl as a permanent referee after that, considering what I always found kind of weird about the angle was that it was kind of done to imply that Earl was the evil twin, you were the good twin, DiBiase paid him off or whatnot, and then within about, I don't know how long it was, 6 months, they were using him just as a referee with no explanation, actually using his name, Earl Hebner, after saying that he was the evil twin. Was that weird? How did that come about?
Well, I guess he had to have a job to keep working, you know.
Yeah.
Because he quit working for Dusty Rhodes down in Charlotte, so he had to have a job, and then they promoted me to a road agent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
How was that? Did you enjoy doing refereeing, or did you enjoy being a road agent more?
You know what? My heart was always in refereeing, you know, being out there with the people and all that stuff. But then when Vince come to me, he said, you know, I really need you. I really need you in this spot, you know, to be an agent. And I guess I was the youngest agent there and did a good job for him. You know, I watched the box office every night. I had all the meet and greets. I worked with Tony Greer and Howard Finkel on travel. We worked a lot on travel. We did a lot of stuff behind the walls and nobody knew what we did, you know, but we were just trying to keep the company going, running the company for Vince and making things nice and smooth and making things nice and easy, you know.
Uh-huh.
We had a good thing going. And Johnny comes back, he takes over, sends Howard back to the office every day, sits in the office and takes him away from TV, you know. I don't know what Nine is trying to do.
I was going to say, what is your personal... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I guess since they put WCW out of business, I guess maybe... and then we turn around and hire them, and they're the same people that try to put us out of business, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, man.
What is your view of his personal managing style? What do you think about Laurinaitis as a manager, as an outside observer? How do you feel about that?
John Laurinaitis?
Uh-huh.
I feel like he should go somewhere else. I don't even think he should be in the business. First of all, you know, you got to be trusted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought he was a great guy, but, you know, he's a liar. He's never up front with you. He'll stab you in the back, and he'll let you lay there and die.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John Laurinaitis is all about.
Do you think in this business sometimes people tend to applaud things like that and shy away from loyalty, as we said before?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of these days something's going to happen to him. Because one of the boys ain't going to like what he's going to do, and there's going to be some big trouble, you know?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you can't lie and cut people in the back and all that stuff and expect to make it in the business, you know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But he only tells you what you want to hear. Just what he wants you to hear to get your ego up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Said, "Oh man, all right, this guy's all right. He's gonna be a good guy, you know." They come and telling me that I was one of his best agents that he had, and he couldn't believe that I let the guy through the back door. When did I start running security at the shows? You know?
Yeah.
The guy that was bringing the shirts and doing all that guy's been giving those guys making shirts before I even went there. It may have been Harley Race's days.
So you're saying that he approached you about someone that apparently you were letting in, or?
Yeah, told me I'm gonna have to send you home. And he said, I can't believe that you let the guy in the back door. I said, how do you figure I'll let him in the back door? That guy was coming around with SmackDown and Raw. Well, I mean, I'm in both towns. He's going to use an excuse, well, I let him through the back door. I didn't know I was running security. I thought Jimmy Tillett and Jimmy Newton was the two security guys, you know?
Yeah.
Not Dave Hebner. It was all a big build-up just to get rid of the Hebners. I'm telling you what it was. It wasn't all about the shirts. It wasn't all about the emblem. All he wanted to do was get rid of the Hebners. That's all he wanted to do. He had no use for the Hebners.
Well, it seems like, I mean, that seems to be the big thing that they've been doing, is a lot of the releases and a lot of the people who have been let go are coming back and saying they all saw it coming. They saw it coming for so long. How does that affect you working for the company, knowing that somebody there kind of has it out for you?
And it's bad. It's bad. I mean, you know what? I think it's a shame when you wake up every Monday morning or every Tuesday morning, because I work both PDs, go down there and just on needles and pins, just waiting for him to come out to fire you, you know?
Yeah.
I told my wife back in December, I said, Becky, he's looking away to fire us. I'll tell you that right now. I told my wife, I said, he is trying to get rid of me in a row. You know? So.
Did you see it affect
I know it was.
I'm sorry, did you? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm saying, did you see it affect the locker room, too? Did you see some of the wrestlers feeling the same way you did, maybe affecting their performances on air?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody knew. Everybody knew, you know?
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you this, too. I mean, you were there for so long, and I remember in the late 90s, one of the big selling points for people who were going from WCW to WWE, it wasn't the money, because, you know, Bischoff was throwing money hand over fist to everybody. People were saying they wanted to go to WWE because of the happy locker room environment.
Right.
And now it almost seems like an exact opposite. Do you think that it's more of a case of, since there is no real competition to offer these guys enough money to steal them away, that WWE doesn't necessarily put as much stock into their locker room as they used to?
Right. Well, one thing is, you know, there's no competition there, you know?
Yeah.
What do you got, TNA? That's about it. Mm-hmm. And I heard those guys were drawing SmackDown. So they're going to a two-hour show this week. That's what I heard. I don't know how true it is, you know?
Yeah, they're doing the Thursday thing last night.
So anyway, but, there's no competition. I wish Vince would have bought, like when he bought WCW, I wish he'd have kept two companies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that way he could have had, you could have had two companies, you know?
Well, a lot of people thought that was going to happen. I mean, when Shane showed up at Nitro, a lot of people were hoping, and I think it was kind of the original plan when they did that that Bagwell Booker T match on Raw, and then suddenly it was gone and it was done. Do you think it was a matter of just egos not allowing them to exist, or not wanting to acknowledge that there was actually another company at one time that could maybe, to a certain extent, still draw some fans?
Yeah, they could draw some fans.
Yeah. No, but I mean, do you think it was ego that kept them from making it a second company?
Well, you know, I think the ego down WCW was all screwed up, you know? I mean, I heard you had one guy don't want to do this, one guy don't want to do that, they don't make the towns and all that stuff, which that's something Vince never put up with, you know? You made the towns. You didn't embarrass the company and also hurt your fans, you know? Vince don't put up with that, so much like Lex Luger walked out, you know?
Yeah, and
Longa Blaze dropped the belt in the trash can, you know. So,
were you ever approached by WCW?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you didn't go for it?
No, they wanted me and Earl to walk out and come down there and be on Nitro. We said there's no way in the world, as good as Vince has been to us, could we ever walk out. And I don't care if you were to give me $200,000, if you were to give me $500,000, I still would not have walked out to go down there at all. I mean, I would be the first guy to get in front of the line and take a bullet for any of the McMahons. Linda McMahon, Dent, Shane, Stephanie. I'd be the first guy to step in line and take a bullet for either one of them. That's how much I thought of them, good people, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I still can't believe today that Vince didn't call me in his office or call me at TV or bring me in his office and say, Heber, we're going to have to fire you because your brother did this, which I should have been fired for what my brother did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, I haven't talked to Vince since it happened, and I really don't understand why he hadn't called or just give me an explanation to let me know why I got fired. I mean, all those years I stayed there, and you know, 24 years—that's a lot of years, right?
No, definitely.
I mean, so I eat, breathe, and sleep that company.
Well, did you hear anything? Again?
Again, I never ever missed a day. Never.
Well, was there ever an official statement told to any of the boys in the locker room? Did anything ever get back to you officially from what was said, maybe to the current employees about your release? Because this sounds so weird.
What was that again?
Were the boys or the people that worked for WWE ever given an explanation as to your release that maybe you heard from someone else?
No, I didn't hear anything, but I do know that The Undertaker went to Vince, Ric Flair went to Vince, Shawn Michaels went to Vince, and I don't think any of them could get an answer why we were let go. I mean, I thought me and Earl were part of the family there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I thought we were in there, you know? I mean, here's a guy that I would never let anybody talk about, anybody steal his money, do nothing, you know? Absolutely nothing. Back when we used to have to do a urine test, I busted Sid Justice, caught him with urine that wasn't his, turned him in. He wanted to kill me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? How much more could I have done for the company, you know?
Exactly. He was not, Sid wasn't known as the most reasonable human being.
Right.
Things like
But yet he approached me and said, if you take that to Vince, I'll kill you, you know? I mean, I took it to Vince.
And what ended up happening? Anything?
Yeah, Sid got suspended.
No, but I mean, with him threatening you and coming after you, it just got dropped after that?
Yeah.
No, it's a classic.
He didn't do anything. He just was trying to bully me out, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing is that you were extremely loyal too, but even Earl with the situation with Bret Hart and all that in Montreal, I mean, after something like that, I don't think anybody would have ever dreamed that you guys would be released. I mean, that definitely, if there was ever a time that it seemed like a real showing of loyalty on the part of the Hebners, that was definitely it, because it affected both of you. I mean, was that ever taken into account, do you think? Or did anyone even think about the fact that, you know, Earl had gone, I won't say did that for Vince, but really kind of put himself on the line and took heat for years for that. Do you think they thought about that when they released him?
Yeah, he still takes heat for that today. Mm. Anywhere we go in Canada, they said, you screwed Brett, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He still takes heat. Matter of fact, Stephanie and them had decided to take Earl off of all the Canadian towns when we go over to do TV, because he was getting more heat than the boys were getting.
That's amazing. I don't know. I mean, in hindsight, is there anything you would do differently if you could go and just do it all over again?
Well, you know, I couldn't. One thing I couldn't do, I couldn't trust Johnny Ace. You know.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon, I believe I could trust. And the family, Stephanie, Linda, him, and Shane, I mean, they are some great people, you know?
Yeah.
But just to let a guy come in and like that, I don't know, you know, here's a guy who's been at 20, if I did something bad, if I did something to deserve it, then fire me. But I did absolutely nothing. And then when I got there, I called the office and said, hey, I was supposed to get a package. Well, I haven't talked to Johnny yet. You know what Johnny said? Johnny said, I don't deserve a package. So they fired me. They didn't give me one dime. They didn't give me nothing. Just kicked me right out, and that was it, you know?
For 24 years.
24 years. Mm-hmm. Just kicked me out.
There's some people who do bad things to companies that still get a package after 24 years. You didn't do almost anything to them, and they still didn't give you anything.
No.
I don't know. But
well, I guess if anybody gets one, it'll be Animal. It'll be Linus' brother.
The former tag team champion as of a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, he came a champion the first night he came in, you know?
Yep.
So he'll probably get a package when he leaves there, too.
That's
He'll probably get $350,000 a year and a $500,000 bonus on a package, you know?
Yeah, he gets his own DVD and the whole nine yards.
Right.
Absolutely amazing. I guess, in closing, if you could sit down right now, and if you could say one thing to Johnny Laurinaitis right now, what would it be?
I'd say he's about the lowest thing in the world. that's what I'd say. I'd say he's older than a maggot.
In closing, what would you like to say to your fans out there and our readers?
You know, I like to say to all the fans of all the good years we had, all the good times I had in the ring, and I know Earl had good times in the ring. I appreciate every one of them coming, supporting the Hebners, because I heard when we left, people were making up signs, bring back the Hebners, and I heard they were making them take them down, tear them up, and throw them out. So, you know, people love the Hebner brothers. We're the best there is, the best there was, and the best there'll ever be.
Well, there you go, man.
Dave, like Rick, it's like Ric Flair says, you can't be first, but you can be next.
Oh, that's a good one. Dave, I want to thank you so much for coming on, man. I know our readers will be very happy to hear what you have to say, man.
All right, man. Stay in touch.
I definitely will.
Tell my buddy Tom hello.
I will.
All right, man. Thanks.
So there you have it, guys. Dave Hebner right here on the show. Best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. Dave and Earl using the Bret Hart catchphrase. There's definitely an irony in that. Really cool to have him on. Guys, do me a favor. Come back next week because we're going to have more guests. This is not the end of our guests. We're actually just getting ramped up. We're going to be bringing in plenty of people that either you haven't heard from before, haven't heard from in a while, or you've been waiting to hear from. We have a lot of good things lined up, I promise you. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere and come back right here next week for another edition of JG's Radio Free Insanity. And in between now and then, if you find the time, please come to WorldWrestlingInsanity.com every day. We got something new. And yeah, you'll have a lot of fun. So again, until we next meet, this is James Gutman saying be well. And thank you for sharing our insanity.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.